Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
This past week, I was going through some old materials in one of my many bookcases, and I came across a binder from years ago. I think it was 7 years ago, 6 years ago, and it was all of my notes from a series I did on Monday nights for our men called Faith Override. And we for months, every other week, we would go, faith overrides fear, faith overrides comfort, faith overrides sickness, faith. And it was just, I spent about 45 minutes reading through all of that yet again. And I was encouraged because faith is more than a cliche. And there's a lot of cliches in the church. How many of you have ever been guilty of using a church cliche? And there was, am I the only one? Me and my father-in-law are the only ones. Okay. Everybody else lies, and we just use cliches. I've used cliches. I've used them about myself, to myself, to other people. I've used them in these aisles. I've used them in that lobby. I've used them from the platform and behind the pulpit. And the problem with cliches is even if it's the Word of God or a principle from the Word of God, we can use them so much and so casually that we rob them of the power in that moment. But there is a lot of church cliches that we use, and we say things that are not even in the Bible. And the principle might be there from the Word of God, but if it's not the Word of God, it does not have the power to change. Can I encourage somebody today? This is for everybody in the house, including me. There's one thing you won't see me post on social media, and that is anything political, because politics can't change you. Politics might be able to help you from time to time, but politics can't change you. The Word of God can transform and change your situation. I don't talk about things that are not publicly, that are not going to help somebody, and that does not have the ability to transform them. So a lot of these church cliches that we use on social media and we use while we preach or while we live, they're not in the Word of God. We have heard and we just read from faith to faith. Another one is from 2 Corinthians 3, from glory to glory. Another one that we always say is victory to victory, faith to faith and victory to victory. The problem is victory to victory, that's not even in the Bible. That phrase is never uttered in all 66 books. The principle's there that when you live from faith to faith, that you will have victory and another victory and another victory. But faith cannot be something that we step into for the moment. Faith cannot be something we tap into when we get a cancer report. Faith cannot be something we run into when we run into the red in our checking account. Faith cannot be something that we step into at a moment of need in our life. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. That means every day of your life, even days that are not Sunday, you have to live by faith. You've got to have word before you can have faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when we get the Word of God, faith begins to grow in us. You know why more miracles happen on Sunday mornings than on Tuesday afternoon? Because the miracles always follow the Word that inspires somebody's faith in that moment to receive a miracle. You know why a lot of miracles are lost Monday through Saturday? Because they are not followed up by the Word. I don't want to receive a miracle and lose a miracle. You know what's worse than not having $1 million? Having $1 million and then being broke again after the $1 million. You say, man, Pastor Brandon, I wish I had $100 million. You're better off than Antoine Walker. He played for the Celtics and for the Miami Heat, made over $150 million in his career, and you've got more money than he's got today. I'd rather not have it than to have it and it be taken away. And so we have, and we're raising up emotional Christians that we can pump them up, we can prop them up, we can provoke them on a Sunday or during a conference or during a camp to have faith in that moment. But faith in a moment is going to frustrate you because it's going to bring you to a level of operation that if you're not willing to put in the time and the effort every day, all day of your life, your faith is going to be like a roller coaster. God does not want your life to be a roller coaster. God wants this day to be better than yesterday. yesterday. He wants 2019 to be better than 2018. He doesn't want you struggling the next decade with what you struggled with this decade. And the only way that happens is to live by faith. So we've got these cliches. Cliches that people have used for many, many years. Some of these you've used, some of them I've used. Throw that first one up. If God brings you to it, then God will bring you through it. And that's a great statement to make to somebody if you really mean it. But most of the time we say something like this because we don't want to literally stop and really minister to somebody. And so we're on our way to Rudy's barbecue after church Sunday. And somebody stops us in the aisle, stops us in the parking lot, and says, this is the need I'm going through. This is what I need from God. And we say, well, if God brings you to it, God will bring you through it, because you're already thinking about the cream corn. And you don't want to stop for 8 minutes and lay hands on them and pray for them and minister to them. And say, this is what God has brought me through. This is what God can do in your life. And so we have things like, God won't put any more on you than you can bear. And we say things when people need more than a cliche. When they come to you, they recognize you are a person of faith. And when I talk to a person of faith, I don't want some cliche. I want you to speak the word of God. I want you to act the word of God. I don't want you to cliche me. I want you to give me a logos or a rhema word that is going to change my life. Give me another one. When God closes a door, he opens a window. There's only one window God opens. It's the window of heaven. God does not have to open a window if a door closes. If the door closes, he don't want you in that house. But we say little cute little things like this, and we'll put a picture on it, and we'll put it on Instagram, and then we high-five each other when we hit 54 likes, and look how many people read that, and I got 8 shares. You've shared something that has not helped somebody, but you literally retarded their progress and injured their growth and maturity because you did not give them what they needed. You gave them what they wanted. Give me another one. Is this too much on a Sunday? Cleanliness is next to godliness. Not in the Bible. It's good. It might help you get your kids to clean their room. But being clean don't make you like God. A clean room doesn't do. It might make mama feel better. But, man, you ain't even got any kids at home. My goodness. She's amening for the grandkids, I guess. Throw me another one up there. Let go. And let God. Sounds good. It even preaches really good. But what if God tells Jacob to hang on? What if the person you say let go and let God, God's saying that's the exact opposite I wanted you to tell them, because they need to have some faith and some tenacity like a pit bull to latch onto the thing that I've given them and not turn it loose. And instead of pushing them towards their destiny and pushing them towards their goal, we have cliched them right out of the will of God and the hand of God. That's good preach. I don't know where you go, but that's good preaching. Next one. I'm too blessed to be stressed. You say that to the greeters as you walk in. How you doing? I'm too blessed to be stressed. Knowing you just cussed your husband out in the parking lot. Knowing you just had your kid in a headlock at 8:45 this morning. Knowing that you bounced 3 checks the last 72 hours. I'm too blessed to be stressed. That is not declaration. That is lying. That is not faking it until you make it. That is not wanting to take responsibility for how your life is. I'm not saying that you got to get real, because Brother Harold and his team of 82 greeters don't have a time for you to get real in the lobby. Come and get real in here, okay? Show me another one. This is another one. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. The anointing has nothing to do with your enjoyment or your disappointment. Come on, we're killing cliches today. I think I got one more. This one might be the best. God helps those who help themselves. I think any thief would be somebody who is helping themselves. I think a stalker or a peeping Tom is helping themselves. That's not the Apostle Paul. That's the Apostle Benjamin Franklin. That's not from the Word of God. That's from Benjamin Franklin's brain. Sounds good. But I know a whole lot of people that are helping themselves that God is nowhere near helping them. And so the cliches of the church have cemented people where they're at. And we say these things in circular patterns so much that we get frustrated. Because check this out. As I say those things and I have no growth and no forward movement, there's someone on my right that's standing on the Word of God. There's somebody on my left that's declaring the Word of God. There's somebody off in my peripheral vision that's acting in faith, and I see them moving from faith to faith and going from one place to the next, and it frustrates me because I say, God, I'm doing the same things that they're doing. No, you're not. You don't know what the people around you have been through to get where they're at. And so we need to be very careful on how we pray. I want what they have. I want their anointing. I want to do what they do. You better be very careful because you don't know what it costs them to get the anointing that they walk in. You don't know what kind of hell they had to walk through to get to where they are today. And so it's not, God, I want what they have. It's, God, let your will be done in my life. I thank God that you did it for them. I thank God that you did it for her. But Lord, I'm looking for you to do something in me. And if I don't need that, I don't want that. If the price is too steep, I don't want to pay that. I want to do what you've called me. I want to do what you've called me to do. Turn to your neighbor and tell them faith to faith. You spend any time in church, you've heard this phrase, faith to faith. You've heard people preach faith to faith, and it's something that we love to claim, and we love to talk about going from mountaintop to mountaintop. But sometimes we say these things like faith to faith so much that they lose their value, or we make them a one-dimensional phrase or word, robbing them of the fullness of their revelation. It is a very myopic way of viewing things. It is a short-sighted and nearsighted way to view things. And this is how I know that, is because I grew up for 36 and a half years. I have lived on this earth. I have gone to this church, and I have heard Bishop, and I have heard other guest ministers preach on faith to faith, and we shout and we scream, but I've heard it so much that faith to faith is not about the process, it's always about the destination. And when it's always about the destination and not the process is when we get in trouble. Because faith to faith, there is a middle thing between faith, and it's called the valley. And for me to get to the next mountaintop, I'm going to have to leave the mountaintop I'm comfortable on. I'm going to have to descend into the valley to get to the next mountaintop. But there's a few things about mountaintops that I want to just encourage you for the next minute. Number one is, God is not going to call you. This is not number one on the slide. This is just number one in my head for the media folks. No, I don't want to steal my thunder, so don't put up number one yet. Have they put it up, Mom? You're doing a good job back there. I really do appreciate it. You guys are killing it. Number one is this. God will not call you to a lesser mountain from the mountain you're on. So if you're looking at the mountain, if it's lesser than where you're at, that's not where God has called you to be. Now, God might call you through a lesser place to a higher place, but God is not calling you to a lower place. So when God begins to move, or I have opportunities presented to me, I look at that mountain and I judge, is that place higher than where I am today? Because I've got news for the adversary. I'm not moving and leaving this mountain until God has shown me a greater place for me to go. I'm not going to a same-as mountain. I'm not going to a shorter or smaller mountain. I am only leaving this place to go to greater. So until God calls me to greater, I will celebrate on this mountaintop. Until God calls me to greater, I will beckon those behind me to join me where I'm at today. But I will not move unless God shows me something. greater. Here's the second thing you got to understand. This is in my head. Second thing about these mountains is I never learn anything on top of the mountain. Life's greatest lessons are learned down there, not up here. In the valley, I find out who's really my friend. In the valley, I find out who my ride or die really is. In the valley, I find out things about myself that I did not know that I had. I find out things that I can do that I did not know that I can do. I'm here to tell you, you should not fear the valley, because the valley is going to teach you things about yourself and show you things within yourself that you don't learn on the mountaintop. That's why everybody wants to stay on the mountain, because it's comfortable. But in the valley is when I find out the real brand. When all hell breaks loose, when things aren't right. You've heard me preach about it. If I go zero dark 30 on social media, it's because I'm going through a valley or some kind of hell, and I'm not going to syndicate my sorrows to the rest of the world, and I'm not going to get pity on social media. I'm too busy walking and navigating my way through the valley to get to the next mountaintop. And so don't be surprised. Don't be hating. Don't think my life is perfect, because it ain't. I just show you highlights of what God is doing in my life. I don't show you the lowlights. I don't syndicate sorrows. I don't talk about all that stuff. I can bend your ear for a moment or two and tell you that I've been through some stuff in the valley, but on the way to my mountain, you'll never hear about the stuff. Right. You know, the only way you'll hear about my stuff in the valley is if you'll walk with me. If you don't want to walk with me, there's another cliche that you don't know. You see his glory. You see my glory, but you don't know my story. And a lot of preachers use that, and it sounds great, but I don't want you to know my glory. I want you to know his glory. You see his glory, but you don't know my story. Meaning, you see the after picture. You see me on the mountaintop, but let me tell you, I had to fight tooth and nail through the valley to get to where I am today. And if you don't want to leave the mountain to walk through, you can't stand with me in glory unless you'll walk through my story with me to get to God's glory. That's why hundreds of people have made it to the top of Mount Everest out of billions. There's people like me that say, there's no way I'm doing that. There's people that died halfway up. Read a gruesome story. They don't even get the bodies of those that die. They leave them up there. They have literally become landmarks. I think one of them is called either Green Boots or Green Jacket. They know that that is halfway up. He's been there for, I think, 20 years, frozen solid, because he could not make it through the valley season. I'm going to spend about 7 or 8 more minutes telling you the 5 things you need to do to get through the valley seasons of your life. And to do that, we've got to go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is the 23rd Psalm is a psalm that we use to encourage people that are going through loss, that are going through tough times. It is a verse that we offer when people are grieving, but that's not what that verse is all about. That verse, what it's really about is transition. About transitioning from a good place through an uncomfortable place to the place that God has destined us to be. 23rd Psalm, verse 1. You know it, I know it. It's something we've been raised on. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The division of Psalm, this is somewhere where some man has come and made this the 23rd Psalm, and he has assigned verses to that so that in readings like this, we can all find the same place in our Bibles. But I'm going to tell you how Psalm 23 really reads. Do not read the 3rd verse and 4th verse apart. Read them together. He restored my soul and leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, yea, though I walk through the valley. Now hold on here. You restore me and you lead me in a path of righteousness that the world calls a valley. Is it really a valley if God's with you? Is it really a storm if God's with you? Is it really a bad report if God's with you? Is it really trouble if God's with you? He said, I'm an ever-present help in the time of trouble. God is with you. The same writer of the 23rd Psalm said, though I make my bed in hell, God is with me. What makes heaven heaven? God is there. What makes heaven in hell? When God shows up to your hell, it no longer is hell. It becomes heaven. I want to encourage you. What the world says is a valley, and what you've been avoiding as a valley, it's really not a valley when God goes with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Most of us read it that way, but we live it this way. Yea, though I stop. Yea, though I get a job. Yea, though I pitch a tent. Some of us, yea, though I build a house that I can't afford and get a mortgage. In the valley of the shadow of death. You were never meant to live in the valley. Number one thing you must do to get through the valley seasons of your life is don't stop. Don't stop. David said, when I walk... He said, I'm going to get through when I walk. When some days you're not going to be able to run. You're going to have to walk, but you just need to make progress every day. Some days you're going to gain a centimeter. Some days you're going to gain 10 miles. But the more that you move and the faster that you move through that valley, the season shrinks. The enduring time, the time of your valley, the distance of your valley and how long that it lasts in your life, it is not up to God. It is not up to the devil. It is up to you and it is up to me. Some people take 5 years to go through a valley that takes you 5 minutes. Because I don't stop. You have those people that they want to stop and look around. They're exploring the valley. I ain't exploring. I'm not comfortable. There are some people in here that are scared of the dark. That if you're out in the country and you had to leave your car, you sprint to the house. You get somebody really close to you. I'm not staying here, and so I'm not living here. I'm not planning like I'm living here. I'm packing light. Why? Because I'm going to a place. I'm not living in the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. If you go through hell, don't stop. The storm lasts twice as long if you stop. Walk in the Hebrew comes from the word yelak. It means to follow. If I follow Jesus into the valley, then it's God's responsibility to stay with me in that valley. I've got good news for everyone. God is always with you. He never leaves you. Pastor Mandy just quoted it. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. I am with you wherever you go. He's with me on the mountaintop when I'm celebrating with all of my fans and friends. He's with me in the deepest valley when I'm all by myself and everybody's forgot and neglected me. And if I am going to walk, which is to follow Jesus, and he says it's time to leave this mountain, go into that valley, so we can get to that mountain, then I'm going to live faith to faith. Faith is not a destination here. Faith is a process. That's why you've got to work on it every day. Walk also means to march. You march, marching means that you're going down there to fight. 1 Samuel 17:48, David ran into the valley to fight Goliath. Walk also means to prosper. Prosperity. He said, you can prosper in the valley. How can I prosper in the valley? Because Jesus is with me. It's too dark. Jesus said, that's good. I'm here and I'll be your light. Jesus, I'm hungry. Jesus said, man, what a deal. I'm the bread of life. Here you go. Man, it's been a long journey, Jesus. I'm thirsty. I'll give you living water. Man, it's gloomy. It's dark down here. There's nothing beautiful to see. Well, let me be the rose of Sharon in your life. You say, God, I'm depressed. This valley is dark. I'm suicidal. I don't know if I can make it. He said, I'll be your counselor. He said, I'll be your advocate. God, I'm feeling dehydrated. I don't know if I can make it through this season of my life. He said, I am the great physician, and I want to tell you, you are going to make it to the other side. You are going to live and not die. You do have the resurrection within you. Number one, don't stop. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Number two, remember, God is with you wherever you go. When you're running from God and turned around, God was still there. When you go in the deepest valleys, God is still there. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Number three, let me remind you, you are anointed. I thought I'd get a better amen right there. You are anointed. What that means is God has rubbed his super on your natural. God has taken his ability and placed it on your ability. Where do we get our oil? Wherever that oil is, it's somewhere on the stage. It's right over there. That's olive oil. What happens? How do we get that oil? You have to press the olive to get what is on the inside to the outside. When I tell you you're anointed, what I'm telling you is when the pressing comes, when the difficulties of life come, we see what is really in you, not on the mountaintop, but in the valley. And the devil thinks he's going to crush you. The devil thinks he's going to press you. But what he doesn't understand is when you get in the pressing, it's when the best part out of you comes to life. Because I've got something on the inside that is stirred up. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It is in your pressing season and crushing season that the best thing in you comes. My cup runneth over. We're still in the valley. This verse hasn't ended. If you're anointed on the mountaintop, you're anointed in the valley. And let me just tell you, you were never meant to be anointed for the mountaintop. The mountaintop doesn't need your anointing. The valley needs your anointing. You need your anointing in the valley. People that you pass that have been living down there for 3 years, when you come strolling by after 3 hours, you can tell them, listen, you don't have to stay. Why don't you get up and come with me? Why do I want to go? I'm anointed. You better get yourself up or you're going to live here the rest of your life and you can just keep on walking. And when you come out of the valley, people of God, you should have a whole host of people behind you that you have led out because you are anointed. A cup runs over in the valley. Not on the mountaintop. In the valley. Nate, I don't need my cup to run over on the mountaintop, even though it does. I don't need it there. I need it in the low places of life. I need to be reminded that I don't have just enough to get through this season. But I'm going to come out from this better than I walked in. It's not just going to be a higher place that God has elevated me to on the next mountain. But when I come through this, I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be a stronger man. I'm going to be a more faith-filled man. The Spirit of God is going to be stronger. It's going to be more powerful than it has ever been coming out. Why? Because I serve a God that is more than enough. And it's more than just shouting about it on Sunday. It's in the valley. I'm talking to somebody that the doctors have told you no so long that the no has become the cliche of your life, and I'm telling you, the doctors are doing what they're supposed to do, but they all work for the great physician, and the great physician has been sitting with you every night when the doctors weren't there. The great physician anointed you one day when the doctors didn't see. You're coming out. Your testimony is, I made it through, and I'm a better person for it. Praise team, come. Number five. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Shall follow me. Shall follow you. I preached about it a few months ago. They're not really following us, they're following God. But as I follow Jesus off of my mountain into the valley, I turn around and they're following me because nothing gets in between me and God. I'm so close to God, I'm following after him, and I turn around and I say, wow, I thought goodness and mercy was only a mountaintop experience. Goodness is the favor of God. Mercy is the muscle of God. Goodness, that means favor, can find you in the lowest places of your life. The muscle, the mercy of God can pick you up when you don't think like you can make it and bring you to the next summit, bring you to the next apex and pinnacle of your life. I am here to tell you that if you'll turn around, don't look at your past, but just glance back over there, and you're going to see the two gifts from God, goodness and mercy, did not stay where you left them. They have followed you every day of your life. Sometimes when I'm down, sometimes when I'm despondent, sometimes when I let people start getting to me, I have to turn around, forget about them, and say, goodness and mercy is still there. Jesus is still there. I don't mind leaving the mountain. Faith to faith. We don't jump from mountaintop to mountaintop. We're not magical. We're not genies. We're not witches. We're not warlocks. We're believers. Believers mean, God, I trust you and I believe you. Here. I trust you and I believe you. Here. I trust you and I believe you. Here. When nobody else is there, I trust and I believe you. I'm going faith to faith. Valley is the middle portion between the two mountains, and you cannot get to the next thing that God has for you without going through a valley. I've come to the point in my life, people of God, I don't mind the valleys. I don't love them. I don't love them. But I've learned to navigate them. I don't love them, but I don't fear them. I'm not scared of anything. I'm not scared of North Korea. I'm not scared of who or who is not in the White House. I'm not scared of terrorists. I'm not scared of taxes. I'm not scared of crazy people that can run in this church and cause crazy. I'm not scared of any of that. I live my life with no fear. Why? Because I'm following Jesus. And if I'm following Jesus, no harm can come to me. And I'm like Paul. The worst thing you can do is put me on streets of gold. The worst thing you can do is put me in the physical presence of Jesus. And I walk with a holy confidence. God, if you want me to go in that valley, I'll go in that valley. God, that valley looks deeper than anyone I've ever been. He says, Brandon, that's right, because the deeper the valley, the higher the next mountain, and I'm going down with you. Stand on your feet. I don't like the valleys. Don't love them, but I don't fear them. I don't like the dentist, but I'm not scared of the dentist. I don't like the smell of that drilling on my teeth. I don't like the sound. I don't like how they think that I'm a four-year-old, and if they put some stereo equipment on my ears and put a TV in front of me, that that's going to get me through the process any better. I'm not four. I don't need a juice box and animal crackers. I don't like it, but I'm not scared of it. Say, Pastor Brandon, sounds like you need to take better care of your teeth. We're not talking about me. We're talking about us, all right? Went to the dentist a couple weeks ago, and he looked at my mouth and said, man, Brandon, when was the last time you flossed? I said, you were there, doc. You should know. Everything in my life, I don't love it, but I don't fear it. I want to break somebody loose today, not me, the power of Jesus that's in this room. I want somebody to be broken free from the stagnation and the cement that you've been standing on one mountaintop of your life, because you're uncomfortable and there's even an element of fear that causes you not to take the step in the valley. Remember, it's not a valley if God's with you. Remember when Jaden was little, if she had to go to the doctor and get shots, mommy, will you go with me? Daddy, will you sit with me? Daddy, will you hold my hand? And I went, held her hand. She was scared. Now at 12 years of age, she went and got a whole bunch of shots this past week. Didn't need daddy to hold her hand. She said, I don't like it, but I don't fear it. This young lady right here, I made a deal with her a few weeks ago. I'm meeting people where they're at these days. Not trying to get everybody where I'm at in one day. I've known Janice for a very, very long time, and I don't think she'd mind me sharing this with you. But it's been a long time since Janice has been to Living Way a few months ago. I said, Janice, I miss you. Janice, I want you here. The old brand would have said, you need to be here every service from now for the rest of your life. Do you know what I told her? I said, once a month, That's what I need from you. Pick a service once a month. We have three a week. That's 12. One out of 12. That's where we'll start. And after we've done that a few months, we'll go for two. He said, well, Pastor Brandon, I think she needs to be here every time. So do you. Just because you come to 5 out of 12 and she comes to 2 out of 12, let's not split atoms here. But what I love about Janice is she keeps on coming back to God and saying, God, I'm tired of standing where I'm standing. God, I don't like the valley that's in front of me. I don't like where I am right now. And God says, we can change that by moving. Janice, you moved. You moved again today. You moved again today. You're closer now than you've ever been before. I've known this young lady for 10 or 12 years. And I'm excited. Don't fear. You don't got to like it. Just don't be scared of it. Step out in faith. Follow Jesus like you've never followed him before. Fetterman, follow Jesus like you've never followed him before. For the five that have gathered in this altar.